So what were you conspirating about?
Well, no, I was thinking about it in the context of valuable information.
Mm-hmm.
How do we discern whether something's valuable or not valuable?
Yeah.
And how often do we get sidetracked by entertaining information?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense in the whole?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we can have a bunch of thoughts. Well, did that really happen? Did that really happen? And what about this? And I think that's what makes sometimes discerning truth, you know, or what is valuable to me, it a little more difficult, because sometimes it's not as entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, in a lot of cases, we desire in some ways to be entertained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also we have a natural proclivity to drama and gossip and like and you know, kind of all those like kind of seedy feelings of like, ooh, something's up and I know about it and I'm on the inside, you know.
Yeah And it's funny that you mentioned that, because it was as you were mentioning those very words, even the Bible come to mind for me. You know, this in my devotional this morning, it talked about the cosmic drama.
Nice.
Of the unfolding cosmic drama of, you know, creation at the beginning, you know, but then you still have, you know, this redemption and, you know, and end times, you know, but yeah, in the midst of it all, there's these personal situations that at times are seedy, if you will, using your word.
Yeah.
You know, and I was thinking about that from that aspect of the whole dynamic of conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
You know, where does that come from? Where, you know, that process? Because I think, you know, we tend our lives are more, or our circumstances, we can recognize in this cosmic drama that there's more complexity sometimes than we're often given.
Yeah.
You know, we desire, and that becomes, and because I think drama or being dramatic can have almost a negative connotation.
Right.
But yet there is this part of our lives that is a certain journey or drama, if you will. And it's like, you think about all of the, well, not all of the, but you know, when you think about historic events, you know, there is this complexity. You know, when you think of conspiracy theory, what's one of the primary ones that come to mind for you?
The movie?
Is there a movie called The Conspiracy? Oh, wow.
With Mel Gibson, and you should watch it. It's really good.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, he's kind of like on the spectrum kind of guy, and he's, you know, struggles to hold down a job. And he's kind of likable, but he's also just kind of out there, you know.
Oh, wow.
And he has these very ornate theories, you know, conspiracy theories about what's going on. And, of course, he's crazy, you know. And, like, everyone just kind of smiles and winks at him, you know, that kind of thing. And then at some point in the movie, like, it turns out he's right. And
oh, wow.
They, like, capture him and, you know, lock him away kind of thing. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty... I need to rewatch. It's been a long time. I can't even remember it fully, but it was really fascinating. But it like played into that desire we have to like, there's something behind the door.
Sure.
You know, that no one's telling us, but you know what? We know, you know?
Yeah.
And then some like real ones that I was spitting off earlier when you were asking me about is like what was the first one I said? Oh, 9/11. There's a lot of conspiracy theories around that, and you know, whether things were planned or not planned, and who planned what, and kind of the implications of all that. And then, I think one specific one that I remember hearing is that 9/11 was planned specifically by the U.S. government to provide an opportunity to attack the Middle East for oil or something like that.
Okay,
right? So that's like one example, for instance.
Just hearing you talk about that, it's like we should have a call-in type dynamic.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
it's awesome. Like... Tell us your conspiracy theories, your favorite ones. Yeah. Yeah, and then obviously COVID, you know, all sides, just a lot of conspiracy theories about how, you know, we need more vaccines and we don't need vaccines. And, you know, they're forcing this on us for some nefarious reason that they're not telling us, and, and vice versa. You know, the people who don't want you to take a vaccine.
Population control.
Right. Yeah. And then vice versa. The people who don't want you to take the vaccine are, there's a conspiracy on their side why they don't want you to, and you're just falling for it kind of thing. Like, it's just, man, so much.
Man, I got to get caught up on my conspiracies.
I'm doing it for you.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
You mentioned JFK.
Yeah, I guess my, when I tend to think of that, I'm tending to, you know, go back more historical type thing, you know, because we were actually, you know, in Dallas. And, you know, and had been in that
the grassy knoll.
Yeah. Yeah. Been to that spot, been to the library, you know, the window, you know, saw all that. And, you know, of course you're,
well, what's the window mean? Cause I, that's,
in other words, there's
where the shooter supposedly was.
That's where Lee Harvey Oswald was, Lincoln. Yes. I apologize. Yeah. No,
who Wilkes killed Booth. Abraham Lincoln?
No, yeah, I was right. John Wilkes Booth killed Lincoln. I apologize.
Who killed JFK?
It's going to be Lee Harvey Oswald.
Dang it. I was supposed to say it out loud. I did it. I have it on. Sorry. You don't get to know everyone. No, you're right. It's Lee Harvey. At least that's who, you know.
And then the whole thing, you know, why Jack Ruby killed Lee Harvey Oswald the way he did, you know, that whole kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty rusty on that whole.
That's okay, conspiracy. But like you say,
that's interesting.
It is an interesting, you know.
But what's the take on why he did it? Something to do with the mob or like?
Yeah, that part evades me at the moment.
Yeah, yeah,
but it's still, the fact that there could have been another person on the grassy knoll type thing, you know, that he didn't act alone, and
a recent news spin.
Oh
yes, to this.
See, there is an interest there. I can see your eyebrows just raise. It, you know.
Did you know this little piece of juiciness? No, actually, it's in the movie Oppenheimer.
Okay,
I just saw that recently, and at the end, so this guy, you know, they paint this picture of this guy who kind of wants to ruin Oppenheimer because Oppenheimer kind of humiliated him in some ways, and he always had a vendetta against him, so he tried to. Okay. Basically tear down Oppenheimer's reputation, and he ended up basically doing it, getting his security clearance revoked and stuff.
Okay.
And which was a pretty big, that basically ended his career, because that's where his career was, right?
It's, sure.
Anyway, at the end they have this scene where they're you know, the I'm trying to remember how it went, but basically it was in the congressional hearing to determine whether he could be a cabinet member.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's almost always just a formal thing and then they get in, right? In this case, he didn't, and that there was this one, a few people that just said, no, we see what you're doing here. We know, you know, you have this vendetta and other things too. Like clearly he had kind of a seedy background. This is the movie. Whether history paints it exactly like this, I don't know. But, at the end, he asks his aide, he's like, who was that person who got people to vote against me? And he says, some upstart from, you know, wherever, John F. Kennedy.
Oh,
they kind of left you with that, guy who's super angry and like has these vendettas and stuff. So it's like, okay, all right. You see the picture they're trying to paint that he, you know, he was kind of the architect behind it all. Because again, this movie was very much about how this guy architected Oppenheimer's destruction, but the whole time was patting Oppenheimer on the back, like, I'm on your side, I'm your buddy kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, you know, that, I thought that was kind of, I like those little teasers, you know. I don't know if that's a real theory that they worked in or it's just a fun thing, but
yeah,
there's a new juicy tidbit for you.
A new juicy tidbit based on old history.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a new movie on old history.
So yeah. Any others that come to mind?
Yeah, I spouted off several, and I'm already forgetting what they were.
Well, you said Hanging Chads.
Oh, yeah, Hanging Chads, basically.
The election.
Yes, which, you know, voting election fraud is an ongoing one that happens every election, because if your guy doesn't win, it's you know, you want to find out why. And I mean, so this kind of ties back to what you were saying, is typically the conspiracy theories fester where we want to believe something that we don't think is being told, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
And here's the bummer. It's like, we're not being told a lot. Like, we know that. Like, there's, to me, that's obvious.
Yeah.
In terms of governmental secrets and stuff like that.
When you say governmental secrets, what do you mean?
Well, classified information, you know, that there's a whole, you know, ton of stuff in that category. And, you know, what's cool is as the country gets older, we start declassifying stuff and you find out what the truth was. And the thing that I always think about when it comes to, I don't know if you asked this, but I'm going to answer it anyway.
I'm going to answer this question before you ask it.
I know it's coming. Is how do you deal with, you know, these various conspiracies, you know, whatever. And I really like the Occam's razor thing, which is basically saying the simplest solution is almost always the best. And so the problem with conspiracy theories is they often architect these elaborate, insane schemes, which, and by insane, I'm sorry if you, you know, maybe you don't feel insane believing it, but for the problem is they require so many people to keep the secret, right? That at some point you just go, I don't think that's even remotely possible, if that makes sense.
No, and I
like lizard people. That's another good one. Sorry.
Yeah.
The earth is flat. Sorry. Those are two ones that I just popped into my mind.
It's funny that you bring up Occam's razor, you know, because you know, people come to mind, you know, who, and yet there's this saying that truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
You follow me in that context. Here's where I was going in some ways when I think we tend to think of government and we think of it now with the United States government, but there's a part of me that goes back even further to Jesus Christ and his death and what happened to him and that governmental agency, if you will, that was the Pharisees, you know, basically saying, and this would fit, you know, this doesn't fit Occam's razor because it would make sense that his disciples came and took him during the night, you know, but what we would believe as truth. Is far more complex than just his disciples came and got him at night.
Yeah. I mean, I disagree. I think the simplest answer is like, how do you explain all this stuff? Well, because an angel came, rolled back the thing, and he walked out. That's the simplest, but it's not the most, I don't know, what's another word, and right? Like,
yeah.
Because no, I know what you're saying. Like, it's easy.
It's basically far easier to convince explain.
A person that, no, it has nothing to do with supernatural behavior. Yep. It has everything to do with this, you know, conspiration of the disciples. And this is all part of their big plan, you know, to throw over the government or whatever.
Yeah. So it's interesting as I think about it from that context, this whole conspiracy theory dynamic has gone on for a long time.
Yeah.
Whenever I don't want some truth, and I'm not saying it's a part of every conspiracy, but whenever I don't want some truth revealed, I may make up an adulterated story.
Yes.
That basically explains what happened so that the truth is less prevalent or questioned.
Yeah. When I think about that, what you just said, and kind of a lot of the beginnings of conspiracies and stuff, or even real conspiracies like JFK, whatever, even that story with Oppenheimer, for me, if the genesis of the story has to do with man's ambition, it doesn't surprise me, right? Like,
I hear you.
To me, that is a simple answer. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I hear where you're coming from.
But when it becomes this elaborate, like, multi-government, you know, approach to kind of secretly make everyone take a vaccine, it's really hard for me to believe because that requires so many people to be on the same page
right.
that traditionally wouldn't be.
Yeah.
You know?
And it would, so many people would have to be on the same nefarious type page.
Yeah.
You know, where there's this.
In their mind, it's not nefarious, right?
Like, well, there would be this, you know, completely diabolical regime, if you will, that is all united in this endeavor in order for some of these conspiracies to basically happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't think is impossible. I guess I'm not even trying to say that. I'm just saying, I don't know. Like the disciples, that whole thing, the fact that, you know, it goes back to kind of the Pharisees' humanity and their ambitions and how he was stepping on their toes. And again, not surprising to me.
Sure.
Because I think when we get, or even the Oppenheimer story, he got embarrassed and therefore he held a vendetta, which he then took into every corner of what he was doing in the office and stuff. And I don't know, like those things to me are very simple answers. I think the story that this guy was telling about Oppenheimer to all these corners was very complicated and conspiracy minded about how he had, you know, he was a communist. That was the big thing, is that he was actually delivering information to the communists. Like that, sure. That was what it required, just this really intense level of conspiracy that they had to basically drum up. And that was the drama, right? Like he lost his security clearance due to dubious evidence, right?
Right.
Or past relationships to the Communist Party. Yeah. Connections. Yeah. So again, the two sides to believe there, right, is that he's a communist, he's secretly doing this, and it requires this intense level of espionage that, you know, Oppenheimer's a genius, but is he a genius in two areas? Like, you know what I mean? So it's, you're requiring this level of belief, or you can say, or the party that's pushing this is really upset and has this personal vendetta and ambition, and to me, that's much simpler to believe.
Sure.
Anyway,
I don't know. So what do you do when you come across something like that, for you personally?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask.
Yeah.
I don't pretend that this is the proper way to handle it, but usually my first thought is, I don't believe it.
Okay.
Like, until there's, I don't even know what the intel is. I just feel like there's so many conflicting viewpoints in so many areas, big and small, that I like to hear. I like to hear it all. I want to hear both sides. I want to hear, you know, what the conflicting sides are saying about the other side. To me, that's where it's like the nugget of truth we've talked about so many times in between the polarizing viewpoints.
Yeah.
It's like, I bet you it's in there, but I'm pretty sure it's not coming from you because you're really strong on this side. I'm pretty sure it's not coming from them because they're really strong on that side. So let me hear what you have to say. Mm-hmm. Let me hear it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'll talk take it in. It. Yeah. And I'll consider what your thoughts are. And I've had multiple conversations with friends over the years about stuff that they believe pretty strongly. And I really want to hear what they're saying because they're people I trust, I love, you know?
Sure.
So it's like, okay, all right. You know, and that's kind of how I take it. And then I'm going to ruminate on. And that's the other thing too, is like, I'm not willing to join the fight, like the army that's building right now. It's like, no, I'm not there, but I'll hear you and I'll take it in consideration in the next however long as I'm trying to process this thing. Is that, I don't know.
No, it makes sense. And I think in I forget the guy's name. Oh, shucks. But the movie National Treasure.
Oh, yeah.
The guy,
Nicolas Cage.
No, the other guy.
The young kid.
The kid that's with him that has the glasses. Yeah. He has the book.
I don't remember his name.
No, but either way, you know, I think we all have a friend that's like that person. You know, that's just has their kind of that conspiracy minded thing that goes up. And you know, it's like, I think there's something to be said for being able to hear those individuals at times that kind of create that thought process, that balance, entertainment, maybe even at times, you know, it's like, really, and still be able to have the conversation.
Right.
And yet, you know, not letting it take us so far right, so far left, mm-hmm. that we're kind of just getting lost in the weeds. And because I think, and this is, I guess this is the, we can talk about it from a more humorous standpoint, or, you know, even serious in the, you know, the complexity of, you know, humanism as far as pride and, you know, but I think there's something to be said for also this anxiety,
yeah,
that can be created, you know, around these things. It's like, yeah, there are these diabolical forces in play, and there's nothing we can do about that.
Yeah. And in the movie Conspiracy Theory, he had like 8 padlocks on his door and they all operated differently, and he only opened them one at a time in a very specific way. And on, you know, like,
sure.
So, yeah. And like, he was a very anxious person.
And that's the thing that I think, you know, makes me feel for people. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, as I'm thinking about it, even, you know, an aging population, I think part of the aging process is this maybe growing fear or, you know, desire for safety as I'm less able to protect myself to a certain degree. Yeah. Is that what it is? Well, it's more complex than that.
What is the magnetizing behavior of getting older and being attached to CNN or Fox News? Like, what's going on there psychologically? But I think that's decent.
Yeah, I think there is this desire to know, you know, or to have a source that I can know is truth, because it's hard to discern. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think that's where it makes it difficult, you know.
So here's a question. This is a rabbit trail. Are you cool with that?
Oh, yeah, rabbit.
Specific to this.
I saw a rabbit instead of a squirrel.
Elder generation attaching to Fox News or CNN, this specific thing. Like, it's a very common thing. Like, me and many of my friends my age are all kind of in this, place of mourning as we see our parents become more and more lost in their network of choice and like really sticking to those conspiracies, really. I mean, a lot of it really is, you know. It's like, why are you so convinced? Like, it's, I guess my question would be, do you think it's generational in the sense of this generation and what you just said, like the way information has transitioned and not only transitioned to a different form of media, online, social media, that whole thing, but also the who the good guys are in the information wars is way less clear now. So where growing up, a lot of that generation had their Walter Cronkite or whatever.
Sure.
And you knew where you could go to get the real truth.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, it was probably true-ish, right? Like,
yeah, it seemed more balanced.
Yeah,
yeah,
and there it was seemed more like of journalism, right? And it's like journalistic integrity was this idea that they'll come to us because we do tell the truth, and like that was kind of a hallmark of a lot of networks or a lot of what they were trying to do is like, who can be more true?
Yeah,
you know, where that doesn't pay the bills anymore, right?
No, it doesn't create the drama,
right? Yeah, so. I guess that would be that's my rabbit trail question. So what is it about this specific older generation that's attaching to these things and not letting go and like clinging to it with like a death grip of like, does that make sense?
I hear where you're coming from, and I'm not necessarily sure that it's just the older generation, but I hear where you're coming from in that there is a desire to kind of align myself, you know, with a specific network based on my views matching their views. And I think in some ways it's very similar to our social media dynamic. We're, you know, we're drawn towards people with like perspectives.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where, you know, we tend to be fed, you know, and so we go in that direction, and then it becomes, it's almost more than an alliance, but it's a similar to what I would consider an alliance. Mm-hmm. It's like allegiance almost. That's the word I was looking for.
Yeah.
These people agree with me and I agree with them, and therefore it kind of promotes that.
Yeah. It's like a silo. We talk about silo information, silos, and
Yeah.
Yeah, we often associate those with online and Facebook and getting stuck in their algorithms or whatever. But I also think that's true of these networks where they create this cyclone effect of you agree with me, I agree with you.
Yes.
And because you agree with me, you'll also be interested in this piece of information. It's like, well, I agree with you. It's like,
yes. No, and I think that's where a lot of that comes from.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's another unfortunate part, not necessarily of social media in general, but I just don't think we were as prepared as we could have been in some ways for the social media dynamic, because I think that's another area where
for sure
where conspiracy is just rampant.
Yeah, I want to be clear. I don't think there's something unique about the older generation who watches CNN and Fox News that's unique from the young person who stays in 4chan, you know, what do you call those, forum, and kind of buys into all of the whatever the thing is today, right? Like whether it's white supremacy, for example, got basically captured a whole young generation with this age old, you know, philosophy, but it seemed fresh and new because of the channels they were in. I don't think there's a difference between that and the Fox News and the CNN thing.
Yeah.
To be clear.
No, that's fair.
I guess I was just more curious what the phenomena specifically was about kind of drifting more and more to those two.
Yeah, because you're seeing
as
it,
you get older.
You're seeing it in your parents who happen to be of that generation type thing.
Like so many of our parents, like we're all kind of commiserate together, like, why is my parents, you know, always telling me what's on that network, you know?
And the interesting part of it, when I think about it that way, you know, I think about my parents, but I also think about the family members, you know, or the conflict between family members that come from the talking points of two separate, you know, entities, because one is polarized in this direction and one tends to be polarized in that direction. So when they come together, it's like the same talking points are, you know, are what comes about.
Well, using your word, polarized. So, right.
Sure.
It's the opposite ends of the poles on a magnet. So they repel, they don't connect. They cannot, you know, it's like, and that's what you think about that Thanksgiving drama, right?
No, I hear you. Yeah. Opposite ends actually attract, but same ends didn't repel, but still you get the idea. Yeah. I got the idea.
That kind of breaks the analogy. So don't are you conspiring against me, Mark?
not intentionally. Not intentionally. It's all about integrity. It's all about
journalistic integrity.
Journalistic integrity.
This podcast tells the truth, folks. No, that's good.
But yes, I think, you know, in this, and I think that's where I think that's what makes this topic, you know, important to me, because I think there is a certain fun entertainment that can happen, you know, when we say, oh, wow, I hadn't thought about it like that. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I have to take off and run with it. And therefore, you know, I think there is that part of us that's when we do, it's like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Well, what about that?
Yeah.
And what about that?
Yeah.
And I think it can be almost a form of addiction, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I have to, I almost spend an inordinate amount of time second guessing myself and other people.
Yeah.
You know,
or confirming.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like
there has to be
an inordinate amount of time doing both. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, to where there's this point where, no, there has to be more.
Yeah.
You're just not, you're holding out on me, you know, and granted, there's, you know, in every conversation, you know, there are errors in omission, you know, that I didn't say something, you know, but it wasn't that I was denying the fact that it happened. It was just not important enough for me to convey at that moment based on my, you know, perspective. Yeah. But yet that doesn't mean that there is another side of the story that's completely opposite of what I'm saying based on what I omitted.
Yeah, I'm intentionally omitting to hide that whole other side of the story, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I think, too, just thinking about this whole concept of conspiracies and how it is kind of appeals to us in this almost fun way.
No, I agree.
At first, you know, and then I think it can drag us into the anxiety.
Poole was that kid's last name, wasn't it? Like Randy Poole or something.
Which kid?
In National Treasure.
Oh, was it?
Something like that. Oh, but yeah, it's like that. That's what I came to mind.
Back to Randy Poole.
but yes.
Yeah, like it's almost fun. Yeah, like especially in movies, right? They kind of make it enticing and almost humorous and whatever. But there's some very real negatives to getting lost in that. And, you know, that's kind of what we're referring to. I guess I just had this thought when you were talking about that. I would argue that anything that opens our mind more to more potential possibilities maybe isn't a bad thing. I feel like what happens though is once you, I'm workshopping this thought.
Okay, I hear you. You're brainstorming at this point. I get you.
But
I see your eyes.
Once you latch on to, well, this is probably it. I'm going to chase this one. Your brain starts to close in, right?
Sure.
To say, I'm going to find the answers. And so I think that's one of the things that I appreciate about conversations with friends and, you know, even hearing CNN side of the story, and then Fox's is like, all right, let's hear. I think it's appealing to me to kind of have an idea of all the possibilities.
Yep. I hear where you're coming from.
And I think it also plays in well with, again, very much workshopping this idea, but the grand conspiracy, which is God is in control. Right. And so I have this underlying conspiracy that trumps all conspiracies, you know, where I'm like, oh, interesting. You know, like I could do it that way or he could do it that way, you know, and like,
sure.
And like, I believe he's in control of every situation. That's part of my faith. So,
where is faith and conspiracy very diverse? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Ooh, another conspiration.
But yeah.
Yeah, so just like thinking that through, I think if it opens your minds to more possibilities, and I would argue more possibilities of how you can see God working in this world, then that seems like a good thing. But if you latch on to one and start becoming convinced that's the truth, I feel like that can be dangerous in the sense that it starts closing off your brain walls to that one specific thing, and you're no longer able to hear truth coming from a different perspective because to you it's a lie. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I think that's I think that would be what most people would have against Christianity, though. As you explain that, it's the fact that we're not open-minded, that there is only one way to, you know, for the salvation through Jesus Christ. That kind of thinking, it's like, no, you have to be open-minded to these other things, you know, and there. So, yeah, I'm hearing what you're coming. I think it is healthy to be open-minded and to be able to have discourse, you know, in such a way that says, yeah, okay, hadn't thought about it that way, but that's not for me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And yet being able to, I think, having a way that I know is true may tend to individualize my focus, which, you know, I'm not necessarily shutting off those ideas, but yet my mind is made up.
Yes.
And I think at some point, regardless of what you were kind of explaining, I think once our mind is made up, we tend to narrow, which I don't necessarily see as a bad thing, you know, as long as we're still engaging in conversation. You know, it's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think you can always do both.
Yeah.
Although I think you can always entertain the conversation.
Yes.
But you can only do it in to a certain degree.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is the God card right here. But if the thing that you are latching onto is true, then it's okay to narrow in on it.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's easy for you to say, you know, but I don't agree with you about God and all that. It's like, well, you're totally right. Like,
right.
But,
yeah.
You know,
no, I
if
do.
The thing is true,
yep.
Then it's okay to shut out the other not true things.
Exactly.
And that's where, you know, then you got to get into, well, what's true? And that's, you know, it's bigger than this conversation. I think we talked about truth before and you know, relative truth, all those kinds of things. So you can go listen to that one if you're hear about truth. But But yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I do think, yeah, having the ability to have the conversation to open, even for things that I don't agree with or believe in, like for, sure. in other words, another way to have faith, right? Another religion, yeah. or whatever. I think we should be open to having those conversations so that we can understand their perspective better and be able to connect it to, mm-hmm. oh, I see. So it's about faith. Let me explain, you know, like be able to have those connecting conversations because, one of the things about debate is that you can't win a debate until you can argue the other side better than they can.
Sure.
Right. So yeah. I think there's some value to that, right? To be able to hear both sides and understand both mm-hmm. sides before you pick a side, you know?
No, I hear you.
You know, and this is in matters outside of faith is more what I'm thinking of, but you know, even that, right? Like,
yeah.
Anyway. Yeah.
It's kind of
you muddied the water by bringing in faith. So
I did.
It's good.
I think it's that as we think about, you know, sides, I tend to think that, you know, I tend to believe there's three sides to every story.
Yeah.
You know, yours, mine, and what is true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so often I think that is a part of our human dynamic that we won't necessarily know it all.
Yeah.
You know, that I think, and I think that's where the entertainment, if you will, the fun part of conspiracy comes into play is, you know, when we don't know it all and we can't know it all, your ultimate, you know, God card comes into play that God does know it all,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think there's something to be said for when I don't know it, kind of like when we talked about the Serenity Prayer. When I don't know, when I don't have the control to know, the ability to know, you know, but yeah. yet I do know the things, I know enough of the things that mm-hmm. I need to,
mm-hmm.
you know, then I can still trust God with yeah. that difference
yeah.
between what I don't know and my opportunity, obedience to be able to do enough of what I do know
yeah.
that I'm not necessarily double-minded.
Yeah.
Or torn in a decision that basically says, yeah, okay, this is the way I'm going to proceed and I'm going to proceed with this information. And that may mean that, yeah, this election, I look at this election differently, or I may get vaccinated. I may not get vaccinated, but as for me, that's what I'm basing on. And I'm okay with that
mm-hmm.
regardless of the theories, yep. yeah. if you will, yeah. that are out there.
Yep.
Even that word, as I, you know, it's like, it's a kind of a muddy thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you think about a theory, it's like, it can be true. It cannot be true. Mm-hmm. And yet to throw the word conspiracy in front of it, it's like, huh? Okay. So this is a minority view of a theory, if you will.
Yeah. Well, you know, conspiracy typically has a negative connotation, right?
It does, like, but yeah. it's based on like a fringe yeah. from my perspective. Yes. It's not like a majority view.
Yeah.
It's like there's a fringe and it's like, you know, those individuals.
Well, you know what majority means, right? It's one more than the other party, right?
So. Yeah. And I think so often that's even that view is we don't necessarily think about it as right. one more. We think about it as one versus the 99.
Right, right.
And even scripture talks about how important the one is over the 99
mm-hmm.
and being able to recognize, okay, how do we, you know, value
mm-hmm.
that individual or the, you mm-hmm. know, or the fact that we yeah. may be that yeah. individual in certain cases.
Yeah. I think that's from a government perspective, that is one of the unfortunate realities I've come to see, you know, as I get older. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talked about it once when we were talking about electric cars. Sure. But like, there's a certain amount of work the government has to do to get everyone on the same page in order to move forward with mm-hmm. any kind of legislation. You know what I mean? And so it by nature almost has to normalize people's thoughts on things to a majority degree, right? So one more than the rest, right?
Sure.
And so that's kind of the nature of a government that operates that way, right? Like kind of the government by the people, so to speak, and that kind of thing. To where there could be a lot of viable alternatives, but we decided this is the one we're going with, and we have to push this one. We have to sell this one as the only and the best, and everything else is wrong, because that's the only way to get the legislation through. That's the only way to convince the American public that this is the direction to go, is really kind of creating this villain character of the other side and creating this hero, you know, characteristic of this side. Which, again, I think of the vaccines as a perfect example, but like, you know, electric cars, you know, you and I have talked about or whatever. And I think whenever you latch on to what the government's saying, I think it's worth considering the fact that that's an agenda. It has to be by nature. Sure. That's how the government works, is agenda based. Mm-hmm. And that's how you garner the support. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
And I think when we lose sight of that and we just say, well, they're saying it, so it must be true, gets a little bit misguided. And then vice versa, when you're like, no, they're saying it, so it can't be true, is also misguided. I think that to me is more the Occam's razor thing, where it's like the amount of effort it's going to take for a majority to be gained on completely bunk, not true things, it seems silly to me to even consider a lot of times. You know what I mean? Again, the vaccines come to mind. Yeah. To just say, like, the side that acts like it's crazy that went down. Just completely crazy. Like, how could they possibly? It's like, well, you're ignoring, I feel like, reality, which is, this is, you know, that's a conspiracy in my mind to say, there's some nefarious thing behind it all, and it's not just...
There is.
Right? I mean, maybe. Ultimately, too, as much as I believe theologically in a God who is in control, I also believe in the devil. And, you know, the Bible talks about we don't fight against flesh and blood, but about principalities and powers of the air. And so I'm also not surprised if that there could be conspiracies, but I believe when that's true and from an evil perspective... It's because it's coming from a nefarious character who's much smarter than us and has been around a lot longer than us, and it has a plan in place that's much bigger and longer, been planned longer than you've been alive. So the fact that you think you got it figured out is probably...
It's more diabolical than we realize. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet I don't fear that.
No, and that's a great example, because I think, you know, we can be aware that there are individuals who have a diabolical agenda to a certain degree, whether it's an ideology or whatever. But yeah, there is this aspect that we don't have to live in fear of that or what that might do to us, because ultimately there is a plan in place that, you know, will trump it all, as you said, you know.
And if you don't have that, then I just can see why you would be latching on to anything that could be true, whether it's Fox News, CNN, or 4chan, or whatever it is, to be able to say, I need to know what's true, and then finding enough, you know, tidbits that satisfy you, right? Mm-hmm. That make you feel like, okay, I feel like I have a hold on truth now, and so I'm going to keep chasing this and holding on to this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not surprising to me that there are so many truth sellers, right? Like, because we're all looking, and that's built into us. I mean, from a cosmic God perspective, it's built into us to search for truth and desire truth.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And if you find it in the wrong spot, you know, or you will. Like, there's no good spot except one. So if you find it anywhere but that, you're going to be short-sighted. You know?
I'm thinking about, if you find truth in the wrong spot, I'm not sure you're in the wrong spot if you're actually finding truth. But
that's true.
You can be in a difficult spot.
I guess
spot
I would put it in
still,
quote unquote truth, right?
Yeah. No, exactly. But that's where it's like when you find true truth, if I may say so, it's always it's always a good thing.
Yeah.
And you can trust it. And yet that's at true. The same time, that's where I think that's where the faith dynamic comes into play. As you alluded to that, I think, you know, each of these aspects take a certain amount of faith to be able to say, okay, I'm believing this one dynamic, or I'm believing a complexity of dynamics, or I'm going to the other side and I'm believing that dynamic.
Yeah. You made me think of scientists and science and theories and hypotheses.
Null hypothesis.
You can find a piece of truth in science. Like, this always happens.
Sure.
Interesting. I found truth. It always happens. But your theory and your hypothesis about why, right? Like,
yeah,
that can vary wildly. And if it's based on the wrong thing that's not true, that theory will bear out false over time, right?
Sure.
And I think that's very true of conspiracy theories too, that there are elements of truth, right? Mm. There's something you found that's true, but your explanation for it is wrong. So your theory's wrong. So it will, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Over time, it will bear out that, no, that wasn't true, you know?
Right.
And I think that's the key too, is like we do find truth all the time, little nuggets of truth, but, and then we based on where our foundation is, can be a significant, you know, difference in how I see that truth.
Yeah.
Which again is what you said. There's your truth, my truth, and the truth.
Yeah.
So when I look at the truth in between us, I see it from my perspective and it becomes my truth. It becomes a relative version of the real thing.
Sure.
And so do you. Mm-hmm. You know, no matter how clearly we see it, we still only see the version of it that we see from our angle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Nope. A lot of things are faceted to the point of I only see them from a certain vantage point. And I think that's the beauty of talking with other people, having conversations like this, even about conspiracy theory.
Yes.
So like you say, as we bring that in.
Yeah. And that's what this podcast is about. It's like getting out of my seat, going to sit in yours for a minute so I can look at that facet.
Yep.
Right?
Exactly. And being able to hold on to that and see it for what it is and the value that it has,
right,
based on that facet of truth.
And making that thing in the middle a little clearer, the real truth, because now I got a little bit of a view of it from your perspective and it helps enhance my view of it, you know?
Yep, because I hadn't thought about it that way before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing, Justin. Yeah.
You too.
On the whole conspiracy, we should have had a little more. I was thinking about that. I mean, Kennedy is a good one, but I guess we don't want to get too distracted in that. And appreciate you bringing the Oppenheimer type deal into that.
It's a good movie.
And well, we even had some good movie referrals here.
Yeah.
So
I thought, yeah.
What was the other one with Mel Gibson?
Oh, yeah. Conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Yes. Or was it conspiration theory?
Oh, there you go.
Mm.
This is how we see it. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations. So what were you conspirating about?
Well, no, I was thinking about it in the context of valuable information.
Mm-hmm.
How do we discern whether something's valuable or not valuable?
Yeah.
And how often do we get sidetracked by entertaining information?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense in the whole?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we can have a bunch of thoughts. Well, did that really happen? Did that really happen? And what about this? And I think that's what makes sometimes discerning truth, you know, or what is valuable to me, it a little more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes it's not as entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, in a lot of cases, we desire in some ways to be entertained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think also we have a natural proclivity to drama and gossip. And
you think?
Kind of all those little, like kind of seedy feelings of like, ooh, something's up and I know about it and I'm on the inside, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you mentioned that because it was as you were mentioning those very words, even the Bible come to mind for me. You know, this in my devotional this morning, it talked about the cosmic drama.
Nice.
The unfolding cosmic drama of, you know, creation at the beginning, you know, but then you still have, you know, this redemption and, you know, and and end times, you know, but yet in the midst of it all, there's these personal situations that at times are seedy, if you will, using your word, you know, and I was thinking about that from that aspect of the whole dynamic of conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
You know, where does that come from? Where, you know, that process, because I think, you know, we tend our lives are more, or our circumstances, we can recognize in this cosmic drama that there's more complexity sometimes than we're often given.
Yeah.
You know, we desire, and that becomes, and because I think drama or being dramatic can have almost a negative connotation.
Right.
But yet there is this part of our lives that is a certain journey or drama, if you will. And it's like, you think about all of the, well, not all of the, but you know, when you think about historic events, you know, there is this complexity, you know, when you think of conspiracy theory, what's one of the primary ones that come to mind for you?
The movie?
Is there a movie called The Conspiracy? Oh, wow.
With Mel Gibson, and you should watch it. It's really good.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
He's like, I don't know, he's kind of like on the spectrum kind of guy, and he's, you know, struggles to hold down a job, and he's kind of likable, but he's also just kind of out there, you know?
Oh, wow.
And he has these very ornate theories, you know, conspiracy theories about what's going on, and of course, he's crazy, you know, and like everyone just kind of smiles and winks at him, you know, that kind of thing. And then at some point in the movie, like, it turns out he's right. And
oh, wow.
They like capture him and, you know, lock him away kind of thing. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's pretty, I need to rewatch. It's been a long time. I can't even remember it fully, but it was really fascinating. But it like played into that desire we have to, like, there's something behind the door.
Sure.
You know, that no one's telling us, but you know what? We know, you know?
Yeah.
And then some like real ones that I was spitting off earlier when you were asking me about is like, what was the first one I said? Oh, 9/11. There's a lot of conspiracy theories around that. And, you know, whether things were planned or not planned and who planned what and kind of the implications of all that. I think one specific one that I remember hearing is that 9/11 was planned specifically by the U.S. government to provide an opportunity to attack the Middle East for oil or something like that.
Okay,
right? So that's like one example, for instance.
Just hearing you talk about that, it's like we should have a call-in type dynamic.
Tell us your conspiracy theories, your favorite ones. Yeah. Yeah, and then obviously COVID, you know.
Yeah.
All sides, just a lot of conspiracy theories about how, you know, we need more vaccines and we don't need vaccines. And, you know, they're forcing this on us for some nefarious reason that they're not telling us and vice versa. You know, the people who don't want you to take a vaccine.
Population control.
Right.
Yeah.
And then vice versa. The people who don't want you to take the vaccine there's a conspiracy on their side why they don't want you to. And you're just falling for it kind of thing. Like, it's just, man, so much.
Man, I gotta get caught up on my conspiracies.
I'm doing it for you.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess so.
You mentioned JFK.
Yeah, when I tend to think of that, I'm tending to, you know, go back more historical type thing, you know, because we were actually, you know, in Dallas, and, you know, and had been in that
the grassy knoll.
Yeah, yeah, been to that spot, been to the library, you know, the window, you know.
Yeah.
Saw all that, and, you know, of course you're...
Well, what's the window mean? Because that's...
In other words, there's...
Is that where the shooter supposedly was?
Yes, that's where Lee Harvey Oswald was, Lincoln. Yes. I apologize. Yeah. No.
Who killed
Booth.
Abraham Lincoln?
No, yeah, I was right. John Wilkes Booth killed Lincoln. I apologize.
Who killed JFK?
It's going to be Lee Harvey Oswald.
Dang it. I was supposed to say it out loud. I didn't. I have it on. Sorry. You don't get to know everyone. No, you're right. It's Lee Harvey. At least that's who, you know.
And then the whole thing, you know, why Jack Ruby killed Lee Harvey Oswald the way he did, you know, that whole kind of thing, you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty rusty on that whole.
That's okay, but like you say, it is an interesting, you know.
But what's the take on why he did it? Something to do with the mob or like?
Yeah, that part evades me at the moment.
Yeah, yeah,
but it's still, the fact that there could have been another person on the grassy knoll type thing, you know, that he didn't act alone, and
A recent news spin.
Oh
yes, to this.
See, there is an interest there. I can see your eyebrows just raise. As you know,
did you know this little piece of juiciness? No, actually, it's in the movie Oppenheimer.
Okay,
I just saw that recently, and at the end, so this guy, you know, they paint this picture of this guy who kind of wants to ruin Oppenheimer because Oppenheimer kind of humiliated him in some ways, and he always had a vendetta against him, so he tried to. Basically tear down Oppenheimer's reputation, and he ended up basically doing it, getting his security clearance revoked and stuff.
Okay.
And which was a pretty big, that basically ended his career, because that's where his career was, right?
It's, sure.
Anyway, at the end they have this scene where they're I'm trying to remember how it went, but basically it was in the congressional hearing to determine whether he could be a cabinet member.
Okay.
And that's, you know, it's almost always just a formal thing and then they get in, right? In this case, he didn't, and there was this one, a few people that just said, no, we see what you're doing here. We know, you know, you have this vendetta and other things too. Like clearly he had kind of a seedy background. This is the movie. Whether history paints it exactly like this, I don't know. But, at the end, he asked his aide, he's like, who was that person who got people to vote against me? And he says, some upstart from, you know, wherever, John F. Kennedy.
Oh,
and
wow.
They kind of left you with that, guy who's super angry and like has these vendettas and stuff. So it's like, okay, all right. You see the picture they're trying to paint that he was kind of the architect behind it all. Because again, this movie was very much about how this guy architected Oppenheimer's destruction, but the whole time was patting Oppenheimer on the back, like, I'm on your side, I'm your buddy kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, you know, that, I thought that was kind of I like those little teasers, you know. I don't know if that's a real theory that they worked in or it's just a fun thing, but
yeah,
there's a new juicy tidbit for you.
A new juicy tidbit based on old history.
That's right.
Yeah,
it's a new movie on old history.
So yeah, any others that come to mind?
Yeah, I spouted off several, and I'm already forgetting what they were.
Well, you said Hanging Chads.
Oh, yeah, Hanging Chads, basically.
The election.
Yes, which, you know, voting election fraud is an ongoing one that happens every election, because if your guy doesn't win, you want to find out why. And I mean, so this kind of ties back to what you were saying, is typically the conspiracy theories fester where we want to believe something that we don't think is being told, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And here's the bummer. It's like, we're not being told a lot. Like, we know that. Like, to me, that's obvious.
Yeah.
In terms of governmental secrets and stuff like that.
When you say governmental secrets, what do you mean?
Well, classified information. You know, that there's a whole, you know, ton of stuff in that category. And, you know, what's cool is as the country gets older, we start declassifying stuff and you find out what the truth was. And the thing that I always think about when it comes to conspiracy, I don't know if you asked this, but I'm going to answer it anyway.
I'm going to answer this question before you ask it.
I know it's coming. Is how do you deal with, you know, these various conspiracies, you know, whatever. And I really like the Occam's razor thing, which is basically saying the simplest solution is almost always the best. And so the problem with conspiracy theories is they often architect these elaborate, insane schemes, which, and by insane, I'm sorry if you you don't feel insane believing it, but the problem is they require so many people to keep this secret, right? That at some point you just go, I don't think that's even remotely possible, if that makes sense.
No, and I
like lizard people. That's another good one. Sorry.
Yeah.
The Earth is flat. Sorry. Those are two ones that I just popped into my mind.
It's funny that you bring up Occam's razor, you know, because people come to mind, you know, who And yet there's this saying that truth is stranger than fiction.
Yeah.
You follow me in that context. Here's where I was going in some ways. I think we tend to think of government, and we think of it now with the United States government. But there's a part of me that goes back even further to Jesus Christ and his death and what happened to him and that governmental agency, if you will, that was the Pharisees, you know, basically saying, and this would fit, you know, this doesn't fit Occam's razor, because it would make sense that his disciples came and took him during the night, you know, but what we would believe as truth.
Yeah.
Is far more complex than just his disciples came and got him at night.
Yeah. I mean, I disagree. I think the simplest answer is like, how do you explain all this stuff? Well, because an angel came, rolled back the thing, and he walked out. That's the simplest, but it's not the most, I don't know, what's another word, and right? Like,
yeah.
Because I know what you're saying. Like, it's easy.
It's far easier to convince explain.
A person that, no, it has nothing to do with supernatural behavior. Yep. It has everything to do with this, you know, conspiration of the disciples. And this is all part of their big plan, you know, to throw over the government or whatever.
Yeah. So it's interesting as I think about it from that context, this whole conspiracy theory dynamic has gone on for a long time.
Yeah.
Whenever I don't want some truth, and I'm not saying it's a part of every conspiracy, but whenever I don't want some truth revealed, I may make up an adulterated story.
Yes.
That basically explains what happened so that the truth is less prevalent or questioned.
Yeah. When I think about that, what you just said, and kind of a lot of the beginnings of conspiracies and stuff, or even real conspiracies like JF,